Yeah, my presentation is on the long-term study that we've conducted through several years at Washington State University in Pullman, Washington. And this is the experiment that we've set up in 2016 as a part of the continuous ongoing monitoring setup. And we've measured the effects of removing of crop residue from inside the chambers on the autumn, on the NTO and CO2 fluxes, and here we are. The setup that we have is the LICOR 8100A, and it's it's a combination of 16 chambers which are measuring continuously in the no-till and in the tillage sites. And the LICOR 8100A is connected to the Los Gatos Research N2O analyzer to measure nitrous oxide emission emissions concurrently with the CO2 emissions. And as you can see on this picture, there are various kinds of obstacles that the chambers encounter throughout the process of measurement. And some of them could be snow, or crop, or also there are multiple factors that affect the N2O and CO2 emissions besides the physical restrictions for chamber dome movement or chamber closure. And those factors are quite well known, and they're such as precipitation, change in temperature, and which are related to seasonal fluctuations in emissions, and nitrogen fertilization, which is an event-driven factor. And so the goal of this study was to distinguish among a lot of those factors and quantify the effect of trimming of crop residue on NTO emissions. The instrumentation setup includes 16 chambers, as I already mentioned, and each chamber is placed on a roughly 1 by 1 square meter area, and it's also combined with a decagon moisture and temperature probe to control to measure moisture and temperature in the vicinity of the chamber. The equipment itself is placed in the utility trailer, which is powered by a generator combined with solar panels, and the chambers are outside, and measurement happens automatically, continuously, and this is the sample output of the software, the real-time output. And inside the trailer, there's quite a mess because there's various kinds of equipment stuffed in there. But nevertheless, it's all working and connected to the internet and could be monitored remotely. And yeah, by the way, this is air conditioner inside the trailer, and this is the off-grid power inverter, which switches automatically between the generator and the solar panels, and the power outlets inside the trailer work just like a normal power outlet in the laboratory. And the setup that we have has the nitrous oxide analyzer connected online off the LICOR 8100A, and it's feeding off of the airflow that comes out of the LICOR, and this is how we achieve continuous measurement, and the analog signal from the nitrous oxide analyzer goes into the LICOR, and LICOR software registers both CO2 and N2O, and this is how we obtain a combined text file with data. So let's go directly to the study, to this particular experiment itself. mentioned already, there are various things that people consider before they decide on setting up chambers in the field. And some of the questions they might ask, should I put chambers before, during, or after fertilization? Should I put chambers on or off the row with growing crop? And when and how often, or whether should I even bother trimming the crop, or should I try putting the chambers in between the rows? And of course, we've went through a lot of those questions ourselves, and the reality of the matter is that you can't really get around the crop when you have such a bulky device as a Lycor chamber, and you definitely need to trim, even not just inside the chamber, but a little bit around the chamber to allow for the chamber dome to open. And that's why we decided to quantify the effects of crop removal on N2O and on CO2 emissions. Now we're reviewing this data from the 2016 spring and summer data set, and this graph shows the N2O emissions, and this is the running average for two sites. One of them is a tillage site and another one is a no-till site. And I want to emphasize that this curve is obtained from the 12-minute increment which for 16 chambers, which is repeated 8 times a day, so it's a lot of data. And so this data set is a combination of 16 chambers for each of them. So what happened with the trimming is we've started the trimming experiment on April 26th, and then we repeated it on July 13th, and those arrows indicate the times when the trimming has occurred. As you can see, the crop starts growing to the extent where it gets in the way of the chamber domes. Already after the exponential increase in nitrous oxide emissions has occurred. So we don't know what would have happened if we measured it in this portion of the curve. This is a more or less linear increase in emissions. So this is one thing that needs to be considered interpreting this data. And this is the CO2 data, and CO2 emissions actually start to pick up in the end of the spring instead of nitrous oxide emissions, which usually occur mostly because of the rainfall events or snow melting events. And so the CO2 data is on its peak during especially the spring trimming, and it's right before the CO2 emissions level out and because of the heat of the summer for the second trimming. So the CO2 emissions have a much stronger increase compared to N2O emissions in our study. This graph shows the 3 days before and 3 days after the trimming, and this is the spring data, and what we did is we fit the regression equation into the data, and this is a sine equation which follows the diurnal dynamics of the data that we've observed in this data set. And we fit the equation in the before data and in the after data in the 3 days of measurement, and you can see the equations on the written on the graph and they are exactly identical, which was one of the indications that the N2O values were not affected by crop trimming at all. And by using those equations, we've calculated the predicted N2O values for 3 days, and the before data shows 18.59 grams of nitrous oxide per hectare over the course of 3 days, and the after data showed 18.62 grams of N2OM per hectare over the course of 3 days. So this was pretty identical. The CO2 data showed a similar pattern, and though the equations that we fit, the p-values were significant, but the equations showed that the predicted CO2 emissions were about 13% higher before than after the trimming has occurred. This is the data from the summer measurements from July, and as you can see, there is not much diurnal pattern going on anymore, and nitrous oxide emissions start going all over the place, and somewhat similar situation is happening with the CO2 emissions. In at least those equations would not fit this data. So the approach to analyze this data would be to compare treatments in a time series analysis and draw conclusions from that. So the values for nitrous oxide emissions, as you can see, are pretty identical for before and after in this situation, despite the fact that there is no diurnal fluctuation. And the CO2 data shows that emissions have changed from before to the after. And to interpret that, we looked at the moisture and temperature data that the Decagon probes have collected. And you can see that the spring data is pretty identical for before and after the trimming, and the summer data, temperatures go up a little bit, and moisture goes a little bit down from before to the after the trimming effect. And one possible explanation for the differences in CO2 emissions could be the effects of temperature on possible increase of the CO2 emissions in the summer. And then, if you remember, over here we have observed the decrease of the CO2 emissions, which is actually proven by this model prediction as well. So to conclude, as far as the CO2 emissions go, since this is the major effect that we've observed, the reduction of CO2 flux in the spring is possibly related to surface soil drying out after being exposed to the sun, especially in the spring. This could be one of the factors that would possibly affect the CO2. And the nitrous oxide emissions were not affected by crop trimming, but this is the data for winter wheat crop. It doesn't necessarily mean that other crops would not affect it. And as a general conclusion, the automated systems are really great in measuring nitrous oxide and CO2 in the unattended mode, but you do need to do site maintenance and things like above ground biomass trimming to ensure that the measurements occur correctly. And just need to consider certain aspects of reduction, possible reduction or increase in emissions as a result of the crop trimming, but our study hasn't showed any overwhelming evidence of the effect of crop trimming on nitrous oxide emissions, which gives us confidence that regardless of the fact that we've trimmed the crop, we've measured the nitrous oxide emissions, which would have been the same from the field where the crop doesn't get trimmed throughout the summer and just gets harvested during harvest time. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
For those of you that came in late, the second talk, I'd like to say that the speaker that has come in since then is not happening. So we have 15 minutes for questions. All right, who's first? Who's first? You'll bring us, raise your hand and talk very far.
I heard trimming, how much biomass represented the trimming versus biomass that was left inside the ring?
Trimming versus biomass. That is.
So the biomass trimming, how much, what percentage of the trimmings were of what was left in the plant inside or not?
Right, we left the roots of the plant to not disturb the soil. I mean, if you look.
So you trimmed right down to the bottom of the ground.
Right. So the major reason for trimming was to prevent to make sure that the chamber is allowed to fully closed.
We did not. That's not a picture of one that's been trimmed fully yet.
Right. The trimming has happened about 2 weeks before the picture was taken. But I mean, basically, there's like a little bit of. You can also put the chamber in between the corn. I think if you move the chamber and actually push the collar into the ground, you possibly create some disturbance that would give you a spike of at least CO2 emissions for sure. So I'm not sure about. And what we've done when we had to move those chambers, we've placed the collars in advance, like a few days in advance, and especially after some precipitation events have happened, you would be more or less certain that they would not, your measurements would not be affected by forcing the collar into the ground 5 minutes before you start measuring.